Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few moments to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host because I know how finding the hope can create a boldness to push through the storms. I have faced a few storms in my life. I've faced a few storms this week. Some were worse than what you may have faced, and some were not as bad as what you have come up against in your journey. Comparing our struggles is the same as comparing our successes. It's impossible. It's impossible to come out on the right side of comparison. Your journey is different from mine, and mine is different from yours. My journey is different from yesterday. I have to stay focused on the moment and in the moment to keep on pushing through. That is one of the ways that discouragement gets a foothold in our lives, by getting a person to turn back and focus on what was or what might have been. It is impossible to move forward when you're focused on what's behind. Discouragement knows that, and discouragement takes advantage of that. It will do all it can to replay that moment over and over until that moment is all there is. I had this discussion with someone leading a church group I was attending, and she said it was important that we get up and share our mistakes and our past struggles so that others could understand that we know where they're coming from and so we could connect. They need to know you can relate to them, she told me. I didn't agree. I still don't agree. In 2011, our home was drastically damaged by the tornadoes that tore through the community. 2 months into the renovations, I made a trip to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where the same band of tornadoes had devastated the community. And I mean devastated. There's no other way to describe it. Sharing my woes about what we were facing with those people would not have made them think I understood what they were going through. More likely, they would have thought I lost my mind for thinking I had a woe in the first place. Although I do know that we all want to feel we're not alone in our struggles, the more time I give to those past struggles, the more they become the focus of my mind. And the thing that is the focus of my mind is the thing that will drive the cart. I do not want my past driving anything, except maybe driving as far as the east is from the west. It's not that I'm hiding my past, but that I know that reliving my past, which is what happens when I tell the story again and again, it tears open old scars that are best left alone. That's me, though, and that's how I walk out this life. Others will have different options and different opinions and different experiences because we are all different. If you take nothing else away from our time together, take away these two things. First, we are all different. So no two journeys, no two experiences, and no two processes will ever be exactly the same. Second, we are all going through something that is cringeworthy. I may not know what struggles you face, but I know you face struggles because you're living in the world, and the world wants to hold you down and crush you, so it's working on you. Once I accept the realization that you are dealing with something, then I can begin to recognize if discouragement is digging into you as well. When I see discouragement acting in someone's life or trying to come at me, then I can take the steps to dispel discouragement before trying to move forward. One, I need to be accepting. I don't need to know where you are right now or where you came from or even where you're going. I just need to accept you as you are without a requirement of explanation or excuses. Two, I need to be respectful. I need to make a point to engage in purposeful listening and not interrupt the concerns that are being shared with a predetermined answer. Three, I need to be comforting. I can relate to where you are or even empathize with where you are in your journey, but I don't understand it because I'm not you. I just need to be willing to come along beside you and be there. Four, I need to be attentive. I need to make an effort to show attention, praise, and affirmation. It can be in the form of hugs or high fives or any other deliberate and positive action. And five, I need to be approving, not of actions and behaviors, but always approving of the person and the heart. Because I don't have to have been where you are to know you're struggling. I can be an encouragement for you no matter where you are. Even if I don't fully understand the struggle, I can recognize discouragement for what it is, and then I can offer my hand. Discouragement works the same, no matter what moment or situation it uses to slither its way into a life. Once I see discouragement for what it is, then I'm in a position to begin helping. The deeper that discouragement has set its roots, the harder it's going to be to dispel discouragement. But discouragement can always be dispelled. The only way that discouragement wins is when we give up fighting. As long as we're willing to continually reach in and help, or to reach out and ask for help, discouragement can be dispelled. We can break through the darkness. We can overcome the crushing of discouragement with hope. Nothing seems to put a halt to progress or pursuit of purpose quite as fast as discouragement. It can be a little discouragement or a big discouragement or anything in between. It seems that when discouragement gets in the mix, it slowly begins to sap out all the energy, and before I know it, there's not any motivation to do anything, let alone to pursue actual purpose. I remember being trapped under that weight several years ago. The specifics aren't important, remember. All that is important is knowing that it was soul-crushing darkness, and it had surrounded me. I struggled to get up and move from room to room, and I was content just to sleep, because at least when I slept, I didn't have to face the struggles or the failures or the unknown. I was just asleep. I did try to tap into my secret stash of encouragement that I keep tucked away inside me, but in that moment, it seemed that discouragement had barred the doors and had a guard watching for good measure. I saw no way out. I saw no way forward. I saw no way, period. I stayed in that darkness for more weeks than I want to admit. But one morning, and I suspect it was that discouragement had gotten comfortable in his new home and he left that secret door unguarded just for a moment. But that one moment was all it took. I stood up and I decided I had had enough. I got dressed for the day. I engaged the sun and then I began to engage other people. I know now that what I had faced down was discouragement. And I know that the prayers I managed to mumble in the depths of that darkness connected with the prayers of the warriors I knew were holding me up, even though at that time nobody suspected discouragement was a part of the situation. Discouragement comes in so many forms, and it can be as subtle when it's invading. I have to know its many forms and then recognize the attack so that I will be in a position to dispel discouragement back to where it needs to go. And I do that by, one, being accepting. I don't need to know how you got here or why you got here. I only need to know that you are here. And then we can move from there. A friend posted something on social media. It wasn't a lot of details, but it was just kind of general, I'm struggling kind of declaration. Many of the posts that followed were inquisitive because we all want to know how someone else is doing, especially when they're doing bad, because we want to feel better about our own journey, right? I sent her a private message with two specific requests. One, how can I pray for you? And two, what else can I do to help you out? I didn't need to know the details because the details were not going to change anything that I was going to do. I was still going to pray the way she needed and wanted me to pray, and I was still going to offer to help the way she needed my help. Sometimes a heart willing to accept is the very thing I need to get through or to begin to get through the discouragement. Two, be respectful of the time being invested, of the opinions being offered, or of the thoughts being shared. I need to be willing to listen with intent on hearing and not with a pre-planned response waiting to be unleashed. That's hard for me sometimes. I sat down with my husband to hear his situation, and I sat down really with the intention of hearing him, but he had only gotten a few sentences in when I knew I had the answer. The moment he stopped to take a breath, not the moment he stopped talking, but he just stopped to breathe, and I jumped. Despite my eloquent speech, he stared at me with stunned silence, and then he said, "Why can't you just hear me without interruption?" That was the day I determined to respect what he had to offer without thinking about the answer. Three, be comforting. When my mom died, a lot of people made attempts to comfort me with the sad looks and with some tears. It was a good friend of mine that did the most to comfort me. He and his wife came over, sat with me, and just enjoyed a cup of coffee. It wasn't about fixing the situation. It wasn't about healing the hurt. It was merely about offering me a hand and then coming along beside me for the walk. That's comfort. Number four, be attentive. Show affection when appropriate, in ways that are appropriate, of course. My older boys are not big on hugs right now, and kisses from mom is just annoying. But occasionally the oldest will be in a hugging mood. It's the middle son that doesn't want to be touchy-feely. So I show him affection in other ways, like a high five, or sometimes it's just a look we share. How the affection occurs is not as important as having the affection occur. Five, be approving. This is not about condoning actions and behaviors, but about approving of the heart of a person. I can approve of you without approving of what you're doing. That is what I need to do. Stop thinking about the actions and behaviors and start looking for the heart. My friend had to deal with an uncomfortable situation in his family. His son was doing things that went against the values of the family, and he was hurting others in the process. The dad didn't reject the son, but he did reject the actions, and he told his son, "No matter what you do, I love you, and when you're ready, I will be here." He was, and when the son hit rock bottom, it was dad that came along beside him to help him up. Discouragement crushes the heart and the spirit, and then tells the man that others will not ever want him because of his crushed heart and his spirit and what they led him to do. Discouragement is a liar. When I take a few steps to dispel discouragement, then I begin to reveal discouragement for the liar that it is. I begin to pull away the veil of darkness, and the light shines in. And when the light shines in, we look around and we think, why did I ever believe any of that? And we begin to move forward. Discouragement stops progress, but even a little bit of hope will make a way for that next step to occur. I used to take a lot more things personal when it came to negative attitudes or sharp comments until I learned more about discouragement. Once I began to grasp hold of what discouragement was and what it did in the heart and minds of the people it ensnared, I kind of changed my tune. I saw things differently. I'm not the first to face down discouragement, and learning from the journeys of others is helping me to recognize discouragement, and also develop a habit of facing it down. Discouragement has been causing chaos since the dawn of time, and David in Scripture is one of the ones that dealt with a lot of discouragement. He did his fair share of discouragement dispelling as well. In Psalm 42, David is lamenting over all that he's going through and how tough things are. And then he makes this declaration right at the end. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now, this is from the King James translation, obviously. And David knew that breaking through the discouragement would only come when he turned his focus back to what mattered. Complaining wouldn't fix it. Thinking about what might have been or what had been wouldn't fix it. Only God could fix it. In Psalm 37, David starts out with the right focus, right off the bat. He says, "The only focus that matters is to fret not because of what others are doing." And then he goes on to talk about putting your attention on God. That's the key. That's really the key to all of it. All too often, it is the actions or inaction in some situations of others that make a space for discouragement to squeeze in. That negative review or that snide comment gets repeated over and over and over in our minds until it begins to settle in. And when it begins to settle in, it becomes truth. And that is the moment that discouragement settles in as well. That's what was happening in the time of Nehemiah. God had blessed the Jews, and even though they were still technically in captivity, he had blessed them and was giving them what they needed to rebuild the wall. The locals were not impressed with the situation, and they came out to taunt the Jews as they worked. They called the Jews feeble. And they said the Jews, whatever the Jews built up, they would tear down, and they threatened to kill them. Nehemiah armed the workers, and then he stood with the workers, and he offered reminders that God would do the fighting for them. And that stand that Nehemiah took helped to overcome the words that were being heaped on the Jews by the locals. Discouragement is tricky, and more than a little slippery. Discouragement will take any opening and make it work for it. If I want to build up encouragement and I want to build relationships encouraged, then I have to knock discouragement out of the game. Growing up relationships encouraged takes 5 simple ideas. First, understand encouragement. What is it and how it works? Second, become self-encouraged. Keep feeling that encouragement well. Third, share encouragement. Give it freely because it grows when it's given. Fourth, recognize discouragement because that is where the battle will be fought. And fifth, dispel discouragement to where it belongs. The more I learn about discouragement and about encouragement, the stronger I will be for the fight. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey to grow up relationships encouraged. Knowing encouragement is the first step, but recognizing discouragement so it can be defeated is just as important. This is a war, and if I'm going to be positioned to win, then I need to arm myself for the battle. How are you armed for the battle? Take a moment and email me your thoughts about encouragement and about dispelling discouragement at radio@katherinelang.com. Share with me your tales through the encouragement jungle or share thoughts on the Growing Hope journey. I would also enjoy the opportunity to engage and connect with you on social media. You can find me all around the internet as Katherine C. Lang. On Facebook, I'm The Katherine C. Lang. On Twitter, it's at Katherine C. Lang. On Google Plus, it's Katherine C. Lang. And on YouTube, it is The Katherine C. Lang. You can also listen to all the syndicated broadcasts of Growing Hope by visiting www.katherinelang.com/on-air. And don't forget, each week, you can receive a free ebook by visiting katherinelang.com/ebooks. Every show will eventually be turned into a free ebook that you can download just by visiting the website. So come on over and say hi. Remember, the key to walking out encouragement in this world is to connect and grow together. We are so much stronger when we are invested in it together. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.